Considered on WWNO in New Orleans and WRKF in Baton Rouge. I'm Aubrey Uhas. Just ahead on today's show, we take a look at why Louisiana is the only state that hasn't elected an out LGBTQ plus candidate to its legislature, and the consequences. But first, Louisiana is one of just 9 states that still require students to pass exit exams in order to graduate. Briefly last year, there was an appeals process. And while the change was widely supported by educators, it quickly became a political issue. Governor Jeff Landry killed the policy as soon as he took office. So now Louisiana is once again the only state where students can't appeal. And the kids most likely to miss out are recent immigrants. Earlier this year, I spoke with some teenagers stuck in the middle. If you talk to a teacher who supports graduation appeals, they probably have a particular student in mind. Someone like Lisi Alonzo, who only started learning English 6 years ago. She says she was anxious about taking Louisiana's biology test.
I was very tired and I couldn't sleep like the day before the test.
Yeah, you were nervous.
And I was like very negative because of the language. And yeah, that was one of the reasons I failed.
Lisi is a senior in New Orleans and came to the U.S. from Honduras. She has really good grades, all A's, and wants to go to college to become a cardiologist. But like a lot of recent immigrants in the state, she's struggled to graduate from high school. That's because most of Louisiana's so-called exit exams, tests you have to pass to graduate, are only offered in English. And while Lisi is proficient, she isn't fluent yet. It's a challenge, especially on wordy, vocabulary-dense tests.
Weather conditions, such as heavy rains.
Lisi translates the questions in her head as she goes, until she gets to a word she doesn't know.
Reed grasses. Reed is R-E-E-D, so I just go to the dictionary.
She picks up a small English to Spanish dictionary, which she's allowed to use on the test.
Apparently, it's not in the dictionary.
In this question, the word reed isn't essential. But Lisi doesn't know that because she doesn't know what the word means. At this point, she's already wasted several minutes. And while she gets extra time on the test, it isn't unlimited.
And if you don't finish it, for sure you're not going to pass it. So it's better to take a guess instead of getting stuck in one question.
Advocates say the state's short-lived appeals process was meant for students like Lisi, who know course material but struggle to pass exit exams. The process lets students submit a portfolio and meet other additional requirements instead. And they say it isn't just English learners who would benefit. There are students with reading difficulties who don't qualify for accommodations, students who are chronically ill and can't sit for exams, not to mention those with test anxiety. Lisi took the biology test again in December. She says there was less pressure because the appeal was about to take effect. And this time, she passed. Her mom was really proud of her.
And she said she knows that what she did to bring me to United States was like for a good reason.
During the less than 3 weeks the policy was in effect, 7 appeals were granted. One went to a 19-year-old student in Lafayette.
I failed 3 or 4 times by only one point.
We aren't using his name at his request. Since the appeals issue has become controversial, he's worried people will question whether he deserved to graduate. The student came to the U.S. from Yemen and only spoke Arabic when he arrived 5 years ago. When he failed the state's English exit exam again by one point last May, the teenager says he kept it a secret. He gets A's and B's, but he's still worried his family would think he wasn't a good student.
It's a bad feeling. You want to tell your mom, but you can't because I don't know.
Now with a diploma in hand, he has his sights set on college and a career in digital marketing.
You know, the American dream.
But other students' dreams are now back out of reach.
Mi nombre es Dalexi Gutierrez.
Like Lisi, Dalexi came to the U.S. from Honduras a few years ago. He has one more chance to pass his final exit exam in history to get to graduate with his friends.
Y pido al gobernador de que... que se abra esa puerta para todos los estudiantes que estamos aprendiendo inglés.
His teacher, Emma Merrill, jumps in to translate.
He asked the governor to repeal his veto.
Governor Jeff Landry argued the appeals process would have degraded the quality of Louisiana's diploma and allowed students who weren't ready to graduate anyway.
What's your GPA, Dalexi? 3.6. 3.6. Like, Delexi has passed all of his classes. He has a really great grade in his history class because he understands the content, which made him surprised that he didn't understand the test.
Merrill was one of the key teachers who crafted Louisiana's appeals policy. And she did it for kids like Delexi.
A lot of our kids who don't get a diploma drop out and they join the workforce at low-paying jobs, and that's not their dream.
Merrill says what Delexi and other students need is hope. That's what an appeal would provide, she says. And maybe like Lisi, they won't even need it to graduate. In New Orleans, I'm Aubrey Juhas. From WRKF in Baton Rouge and WWNO in New Orleans, you're listening to Louisiana Considered. I'm Aubrey Juhas. To talk more about exit exams, tests students have to pass to graduate, I'm joined by Anne Hyslop. She's Director of Policy Development for All for Ed, a nonprofit that focuses on improving high schools and making sure students succeed after they graduate. She also worked in the U.S. Department of Education under President Barack Obama, and she's researched exit exams over the last decade. Welcome to Louisiana Considered.
Thanks so much, Aubrey. It's great to be here.
So I want to start by asking how you got interested in the issue of exit exams to begin with.
Really, when I first started doing work in education policy, 15 years ago, we were in the middle of one of the biggest shifts in education policy. That was when states were really moving en masse to adopt more rigorous expectations for students aligned to college and career readiness. So raising those academic standards for kids. And as states adopted new standards, they had to update their assessments to match those standards. But at the same time, I knew that many states had been using their old assessments as a graduation requirement. And it just felt like these two policies were on a collision course. Were states going to require students to pass their new, more rigorous tests to graduate? Or would states feel pressured to water down the standards to help students earn diplomas? Mm. So as we were nearing the implementation date for these new standards, I really wanted to investigate the history and evidence surrounding exit exams to see if the policies were really worth maintaining through the transition to higher standards, or to see maybe there might be better approaches.
Yeah, the language collision course is interesting because it's, you know, like you kind of said, you have school systems wanting to have greater accountability, greater rigor, but at the same time not wanting that to mean that you're slamming the door in the face of a lot of students when it comes to graduating from high school.
Exactly. And I think, you know, one of the things that is just unique about our education system that maybe is different than in other countries is that we are a country that believes in second, third, fourth, fifth chances, and that students who have gaps in academic knowledge can fill those gaps in community colleges or universities. And that's not how the systems are set up in other countries, where there really is a high academic standard to enter higher education. And if you don't meet that, there's no way to enter a college or university. We just have a different system. And these policies could potentially deny access to further educational opportunities, you know, just by missing the score by a few points. And is that really meaningful or not? So I think it's probably one of the highest stakes things that K-12 districts do is awarding that diploma, because it really is the thing that grants students access to a lot of future educational opportunities.
Mm. And kind of a sidebar here, I didn't realize just how different it can be state from state until like a couple of years ago. I think it was in the context of learning that at the time, Pennsylvania didn't even have statewide graduation standards. I grew up in New York State that had the regents, and it kind of blew my mind that it was all over the place in terms of states doing different things.
Completely. You know, when I worked at the U.S. Department of Education, I think, you know, it really hit home that we did nothing about graduation requirements. That is a state-by-state decision, and in some cases, a district-by-district decision, where maybe the state has guidelines for graduation, but it's up to individual school districts to actually put the policies in place. So there really can be a lot of variation across the country, and it's up to states to, you know, make the choices that they think are going to be best served for their populations and for their kids, and to set them up for success after high school.
On exit exams, like you said, you've been looking at this for a long time, and I think it's pretty much been a decade since you wrote a paper when you were at New America that was titled The Case Against Exit Exams. And I'm curious what your argument was then and if it has changed and shifted at all or if it holds pretty much true.
Sure. So when I reviewed the research on high school exit exams, it became clear that the benefits for students didn't really materialize, but the costs did. And those costs were predominantly borne by the students who were already most marginalized in our education system. There just wasn't compelling evidence that exit exams were achieving their intended goals. If you looked at sort of the body of research that had been done on these policies, they didn't increase student achievement. They didn't increase college enrollment or success. They didn't help students succeed in the workplace. But there was a pretty good body of evidence that showed exit exams were increasing dropout rates and were decreasing college enrollment and earnings for the small subset of students who couldn't pass the test. By and large, the vast majority of students in every state that's ever had an exit exam policy meet that standard. But for that subset of kids who struggled, it had really significant long-term consequences. And we weren't necessarily reaping the benefits on the other side of that. And I haven't seen new evidence over the last decade that's counteracted or contradicted those findings. So I still believe that there is a compelling case to not have exit exams, at least in the traditional form that states have used them. I think that I would encourage states to use other policy levers and other tools to really incentivize and reward college and career readiness and meeting high standards directly with students that are not an exit exam policy.
Right. And when we know that, you know, since your policy paper came out, a lot of states have turned away from it, right? I think at that time it was around half of states still had exit exams in place. Now there are, I think, 9 states, and in most cases they have some sort of appeals process. So it isn't like, you know, you have to pass this one test, otherwise you're never going to get your diploma. I guess my question is, have states put the right levers in place? In losing these exit exams, have they come up with better standards, or have we seen states that just kind of have dropped the ball a little bit when it comes to accountability?
So I think the narrative that states have abandoned graduation testing requirements is actually a little bit of a misnomer, because states are still using assessments in their graduation policies. It just looks a whole lot different than it once did. So you're right that there may be only 9 states that kind of have a traditional exit exam requirement, but a lot of states are using assessments in other ways as part of their graduation options. So in 2021, I actually looked at graduation requirements in 29 states, including Louisiana. 6 of them, just 6 of them, did not include any assessment requirements. But among the remaining 23 states, they all had some form of assessment requirement or demonstration of competency for students, for at least some students, I should say. In some of the states, it wasn't a requirement for all, but it was a requirement for some. So there were, you know, 15 of the 23 had a requirement that all students needed to demonstrate competency to graduate. 9 of them looked a whole lot like Louisiana, but the other 6 had different options. And then in 8 states, there were certain students that did, you know, particular graduation pathways, optional diplomas or seals or endorsements. And within those pathways, they did have an assessment requirement. So I think that this sort of new form of using assessments within graduation requirements works a little bit better. It's more flexible than the type of policy that Louisiana has, which is sort of the old, more traditional format. There's a lot of different options, and you sort of don't have this system where there's one test to rule them all. So, you know, you can choose from a menu of options to show you've mastered academic content. You could submit a portfolio of work, or you could sort of opt into this college and career ready pathway or this honors pathway. Sometimes they're really focused around STEM or workforce, and, you know, there might be an assessment requirement if you opt into it.
I'm speaking with Anne Hyslop with the nonprofit All for Ed about steps states can take to ensure they're graduating students who are ready to go to college and enter the workforce. And I'm curious what you see as a good policy pathway forward for Louisiana.
In my view, I see the quality of Louisiana's diploma, and I do think they are quality diplomas and rigorous diplomas, but the hallmark of that is actually the course requirements that are embedded within the Tufts University diploma and the Jumpstart Tufts Tech diplomas. So, like, that is really doing the bulk of the heavy lifting to show that students are having the academic experiences that are preparing them for post-secondary. That being said, I think there are ways that assessments and other demonstrations of competency could be folded into those requirements. And there might be kind of a couple different approaches that Louisiana could take. So if the state still believes that all students should have to demonstrate competency in some form to graduate, they could look at what other states like Colorado do, where instead of saying it's just the LEAP test or the state test and nothing else, you can actually submit scores on a whole bunch of different assessments to demonstrate that you've mastered academic content. That could be an ACT, it could be an ACT work keys, it could be an AP exam. It could actually be more of like a portfolio or something that's a little bit more like a performance assessment. So you have this menu of options as opposed to only having to go through the state assessment to demonstrate competency. The other alternative that Louisiana could do is say, you know, we're not going to require all students to demonstrate competency on an assessment to graduate. We're just going to take that out of the main diploma requirements. But they could look to the diploma endorsements they already have, like the Seal of Biliteracy, the STEM diploma endorsement, and create new endorsements. There could be, you know, an academic excellence endorsement that recognizes students who've achieved, you know, the highest standards on the LEAP tests, not like that approaching basic level, but actually achieving advanced levels of mastery or the proficient level, you know, something that's truly signifying you're at a college and career-ready level on the assessment. And that could be part of the endorsement and something that a student could opt in and be shown on their transcript and on their diploma and, you know, ideally have real meaning to employers or to colleges when they're reviewing students' transcripts and deciding, you know, making admissions decisions or making decisions about merit-based scholarships. So that's the sort of system that I would encourage Louisiana to go to, because I think it could be more meaningful than the system right now, which, you know, the assessment requirement for most students is not a barrier, but for some it really is. And I just think that there's a better way to maintain high standards, to maintain high expectations without sort of having those negative trade-offs.
Anne Hyslop is the Director of Policy Development for All for Ed. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Aubrey.
LGBTQ plus candidates have campaigned for seats in Louisiana's state legislature for decades. And despite a growing number of out candidates winning office nationwide, the state's residents have never elected one. Matt Bloom wrote about this for The Advocate, a national magazine focused on LGBTQ plus issues, and joins me now to talk about why. And I should also say, Matt is currently helping us produce Louisiana Considered. So while you haven't heard his voice before, if you listen to the show, you've been listening to his work for the last few weeks. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Aubrey.
So not only has Louisiana never elected an out candidate to its legislature, but it's the only state where that's still the case, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of hard for me to believe at first, but there are organizations that track this stuff very closely on a national level. And we, in fact, are the only state without an out LGBTQ lawmaker. And it doesn't mean there haven't been folks who are in the closet who have served, but mm-hmm. we know that we haven't had an out lawmaker in Louisiana.
Mm. Do you have a sense why we're the only ones? Like, what are the forces working against candidates here that aren't a factor in other places?
Well, it's a number of things. There's a broad swath of the state where an out LGBTQ candidate is likely going to have a really hard time winning support from more conservative religious voters here. But even in more progressive areas like New Orleans and Baton Rouge, out candidates haven't broken through yet. And the ones who have run there point to a weak Democratic Party as a major barrier for them. Pearl Ricks ran for a newly created district seat in New Orleans last year, but they couldn't even get an endorsement from the party, which they said hurt their campaign. It's worth pointing out that nationally, outlaw makers are over 90% Democratic, and in Louisiana, the state party spent a fraction of what its Republican counterpart did to support legislative candidates last year, so that gives you a picture of what candidates are working with.
So not only is that endorsement important, but it sounds like the party doesn't even have the power it needs to help people reach the finish line.
Right.
You know, nationally, we've seen this surge in anti-LGBTQ plus legislation largely put forward in states with Republican majority legislatures. Can you kind of connect the dots for folks between representation and what we're seeing policy wise?
It means that there's not an LGBTQ voice in the chamber to debate these proposals and vote on them. For example, Louisiana passed a ban on certain types of health care for transgender minors last year. That passed through the Republican-controlled legislature pretty easily. And we're already seeing legislation this year that some advocates have called more extreme.
More extreme? Like what?
Well, a lot of them have to do with LGBTQ issues in schools. One bill would require parent permission for students to change their name or pronouns at school. Another would bar teachers from discussing sexual orientation or gender identity in class. If that sounds familiar, that's modeled after Florida's infamous Don't Say Gay bill, which
right.
has caused a lot of confusion in classrooms in Florida, and it's even seen a big court challenge since its passage. Critics of these laws say that they're designed to censor teachers and erase students and LGBTQ people altogether.
I'm speaking with reporter and Louisiana Considered producer Matt Bloom about how Louisiana is the only state that's never elected an out candidate to the legislature. Matt, what impact has all of this had on LGBTQ plus residents in the state?
I think the biggest thing is it's changed people's sense of safety. I spoke with the former head of Louisiana's Democratic Party, Stephen Handwerk, who is an out gay man. He actually moved away from Lafayette, where he lived with his husband, because he told me he had people directly say slurs to him in public.
It used to be that, you know, gay couples could walk up and down the street in downtown Lafayette and hold hands. Oh, I would never do that now.
That's a pretty dark take that he has, but it gives you an understanding of how some folks are feeling right now in the state.
That's really awful to hear. I mean, my last question takes us beyond the legislature. We know there are other, you know, state offices. Have any out candidates won any of those seats?
Yeah, just one, actually. Louisiana elected its first out-state official in 2022. His name is Devontae Lewis, and he's now a commissioner on the Louisiana Public Service Commission, which regulates our electric utilities, other utility companies. And his view on all this is that candidates in Louisiana can be out and win, but they also have to focus on the issues that affect everybody.
There's no gay or straight way to have a cheap utility bill, right? Everybody wants it.
That's a mindset that a lot of potential legislative candidates have told me they're thinking about, but it's going to be another 3 years before they have a chance to apply that to a state legislative race, since we just had a race last year.
Matt Bloom is a producer for Louisiana Considered and wrote about the challenges out LGBTQ plus candidates face in Louisiana for The Advocate. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Aubrey.
From WWNO in New Orleans and WRKF in Baton Rouge, you've been listening to Louisiana Considered. I'm Aubrey Juhas. Thanks to our guests Anne Hyslop with the nonprofit All for Ed and reporter and Louisiana Considered producer Matt Bloom. Our managing producer is Alana Schreiber. Today's episode was produced by Matt Bloom with help from Aubrey Procell. It was engineered by Garrett Pittman. You can listen to Louisiana Considered Monday through Friday at noon and 7 p.m. It's available on Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Major support for Louisiana Considered provided by Rouse's Markets, a Louisiana shopping experience, with additional support from the Greater New Orleans Foundation.